You may be seated, except that I'm going to invite our children to come up front and join me for the children's message. What is this, y'all?
Flashlight.
Any of you have a flashlight at home? Do you? Do you ever play with it? So what does a flashlight do?
It
what? A light shining in darkness. It brings light. It blinks light. Kind of like Jesus. I see where you're going there. I like that, buddy. What do you think? It helps in the darkness. So, you think you need a light to be able to do things in the dark? Yeah, you think not? Yes, no? Okay, so what would it be like if we had no light? Okay, so if you're at night, did you say roaming around? Do you do a lot of roaming around at night? Anyway, he says, at night you're roaming around to get a glass of water. Okay, and you think you need a light and able to be able to do that?
No.
Okay, some of you think no. You already know your way to the fridge? Well, good for you. I like that. Okay, well, I'll warn you of something. Your memories will begin to fail in a few decades. And no longer will you be comfortable wandering in the dark through your house. I mean, you know where the furniture is, but when you get our age, furniture moves. It jumps out there and it gets right in the way of your toes and bang, ow! So yeah, we need light. We need light in order to be able to see. Have you ever played flashlight tag? Flashlight tag is fun, isn't it? Okay, so we know that we do need light, even those of you who are saying you don't need light. What if there were no light at all anywhere? Okay, you may feel comfortable going from your bed to the kitchen to get a drink, but what if there were no light anywhere? Would that be safe? People would what? They would fall down and break their back, yeah. There's all kinds of terrible things that can happen. So you need light in order to be safe, right? Okay, who made light? Very good. If we go back to Genesis 1:3, it says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's right. So we know that God made light. The Bible also tells us that God is light. Here's what it says in 1 John 1:5. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And since Jesus is God, and God is light, then Jesus is light. Indeed, Jesus said that. In John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light in the world. So, just like we need light, are y'all paying attention over there? See, I get your attention now. Just like we need a light in order to see when we're going around doing things here, we need light. So also, we need the light of the Lord in order to know about truth. When you have a flashlight at night, or when you turn on the lights in here, or turn on the lights at home, they allow you to be able to see what's there. So you know where your furniture is, you know where the kitchen is, you know where your brothers and sisters are, or mom and dad, because you can see them. And if you didn't have the light, you wouldn't necessarily know those things. Well, we need light to know what is real and what is true. If we have the light of Jesus, and we're not talking about Jesus actually. What are y'all doing over there? We're not talking about Jesus being a physical light like this. We're talking about him being a spiritual light. And if we have the light of Jesus, we're going to be safe because Jesus is the light who keeps us safe. Listen to the rest of John 8:12. I'm going to read the Bible. Everybody quiet. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Jesus came for us to not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And by the way, if you have the light of Jesus, you're a light too. Did you know you are a light? You can shine God's light to others. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. So he's talking to Christians. Are any of you Christians? I'm a Christian. So he says to me as a Christian, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. In the same way, he says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. God wants us to shine our light. That doesn't mean our flashlight. It means that we're trusting in Jesus and that we can help other people know what it means to trust in Jesus. All right, we're going to pray and then I'll hand out some of these outlines. Thank you, God, for reminding us today that you are the light and that when we have your light within us, we can shine your light to others to help them know Jesus, to help them know what is true. Help each boy and girl here and each man and woman in this room right now and all those online to remember that you are the light and that we are to follow your light and we are to be the light to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 8. Let me begin by reading one verse out of chapter 8. You can see it there on your outlines, your study guides, and then several verses out of chapter 9. So Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, they, speaking of the Old Testament priests, serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, see that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain. And then skipping down to chapter 9, verse 1, now even the first covenant had regulations for worship and an earthly place of holiness. For a tent was prepared, the first section, in which there were the lampstand and the table and the bread of the presence. It is called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a second section called the most holy place, having the golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden urn holding the manna and Aaron's staff that budded and the tablets of the covenant. Above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. May God bless the reading of His Word. Well, we have noted in previous weeks the curtained walls that comprise the enclosure of the tabernacle courtyard. And upon entering through the only access to this place of worship, and that would have been the east gate, we come first to the bronze altar as the most important furnishing in the courtyard. And that altar is the place of sacrifice for the atonement of sinners. As we move from the bronze altar toward the tabernacle proper in the rear of this enclosure, we come next to the bronze basin where the priests had to regularly, indeed daily, multiple times a day, wash their hands and feet, whether they were going into the holy places or returning to the altar of sacrifice. So this week, we come to the tabernacle proper, an ornate 15 foot wide by 15 foot high by 45 foot long tent. And this was divided into two rooms. The holy place was at the east end of the tabernacle proper. And then the most holy place, you might hear it referred to as the Holy of Holies, was the 15 foot cube that was further west. For the next few studies, we are going to concern ourselves with the articles that are found in this first section, the holy place. And the sacred items here were, number one, the lampstand, which as the priest entered through the east gate, it would be on his left or on the south. And the next thing would be to the right of the priest, the table of showbread, or to the north. And the altar of incense would have been straight ahead in front of the veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place. The holy place from the Holy of Holies. So I want to turn back to Exodus chapter 25 and read for you this morning the instructions that God gave to Moses regarding the construction of the lampstand. So down to verse 31, Exodus chapter 25 and verse 31. God told Moses, you shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be made of hammered work. its base, its stem, its cups, its calyxes, and its flowers shall be of one piece with it. And there shall be six branches going out of its sides, three branches of the lampstand out of one side of it, and three branches of the lampstand out of the other side of it. Three cups made like almond blossoms, each with calyx and flower on one branch, and three cups made like almond blossoms, each with calyx and flower on the other branch. So for the six branches going out of the lampstand. And on the lampstand itself there shall be four cups made like almond blossoms, with their calyxes and flowers, and the calyx of one piece with it under each pair of the six branches going out from the lampstand. Their calyxes and their branches shall be of one piece with it, the whole of it a single piece of hammered work of pure gold. You shall make seven lamps for it, and the lamps shall be set up so as to give light on the space in front of it. Its tongs and their trays shall be of pure gold. It shall be made with all these utensils out of a talent of pure gold, and see that you make them after the pattern for them which is being shown you on the mountain. Again, may God bless the reading of His Word. So for clarification, let me just comment on a few of these details. You have probably all heard the word menorah, even though it's a Hebrew word and not necessarily one that we would use regularly. Around Christmas time, you may hear about the menorah. Not that the Orthodox Jews celebrate Christmas, but it's that general time of year when we have the lighting of candlesticks. So the menorah, the Hebrew word for the candlestick or for the lampstand, is menorah. And the King James uses the translation candlestick. So any of you who are in King James, you've seen that. But it's important to note that that generally makes us think of something that is not consistent with what we're reading here, because there were no candles. The candles are these wax sticks with the wick up the center. So there were no wax sticks. Most modern English translations use the term lampstand, which is the best way for us to view this particular item of furniture. And this lampstand had light that was produced by burning wicks that were fed by pure olive oil. The design given by God for this lampstand was to have seven individual lamps, with the outer two, one and seven, as it were, tied together at the base, and then the next two, six and five, tied together, and the next two with, two and six, and then three and five paired together, and then the last one would have been in the center. So you get this picture of what we're probably somewhat familiar with, because we've all seen illustrations of it or even some that have been created like this, of seven lamps in a row. They may go up, they may go down, but it's seven lamps in a row with the center one and then pairs of three on each side. The lampstand, together with its servicing utensils, was made out of a talent of pure gold. For those of us who don't speak Old Testament Hebrew measurements, a talent is roughly 75 pounds, best we can tell from our research. So those are just a few details, just to help us get a picture here, because when we read through this, we may find our brains checking out, because after all, we see a lot of details about all of these functions and these pieces of furniture, and we may not process exactly what it looks like. But let's move on to what the Old Testament would tell us is the purpose of the golden lampstand. So Roman numeral 1 in your outlines is the purpose of the golden lampstand. We're going to come to the picture later on. Right now we're talking about what purpose did this serve in Moses' tabernacle, the tabernacle of God that he gave Moses to build. Point A, the lampstand was a reminder of the nature of God. The lampstand was a reminder of the nature of God. I'm about to give you several details that I have not put in your bulletins, your study guides, which means there's nothing to fill in the blanks here for the next few minutes. If you want to take some notes, you're welcome to, but I'm just going to give you some illustrations of how the lampstand is a reminder of the nature of God. First of all, the lampstand was of exceedingly great value. And this is suggestive of the fact that God is of infinite worth. So the lampstand was of exceedingly great value. We've already read that the lampstand is of a talent of pure gold, verse 39 says. The lampstand shall be made with all these utensils out of a talent of pure gold. All right, since we've established that a talent is roughly 75 pounds, now I want you to imagine that you're going to the gold store to buy gold, for those of you who do that. And you're going to go in, let's just say you want to buy a pound of gold. Okay, right off the bat, we're not communicating well, because you don't go to the gold store and buy a pound of gold. Gold is too valuable to be sold in pounds. Not that you can't, but that's not the way they're going to communicate. They're going to then tell you what the value of an ounce of gold is, because gold is of such great value that when you're measuring, you measure by the ounce, not by the pound. So wanting to have 75 pounds of gold means we're going to have to figure out how many ounces are in 75 pounds and then get whatever the value of an ounce of gold is right now. Let's just use that for right now. And for your benefit, I actually did the research this week. So I'm going to tell you what the value of 75 pounds of gold would be today if you wanted to go to the gold store and buy this. So it's roughly a little bit higher than $2.1 million. All right, now let's think again about that lampstand. My guess is nobody here has a $2 million lampstand in your home. A $2.1 million+ lampstand. This is a lampstand that is of exceedingly great value. The truth is that this valuable piece of furniture represents, it suggests the infinite value of God. That God is not worth what a gold lampstand of 75 pounds would be. But rather, this gold lampstand is of such great value that it suggests the value or the worth of our God, who is worthy of, and it's not just 75 pounds worth of gold, He is worthy of all glory, all power, all dominion, all praise. He is worthy of all of your worship and the worship of all mankind. God is of infinite worth. And this candlestick, in part, represents the incredible, immeasurable, infinite worth of our great God. The lampstand is also said to be composed of seven lamps, all hammered as of one piece of pure gold. So as a result of the construction method, when this was all said and done, these are not pieces you would take apart. It is now one piece. There is a unit. It is unity. Seven is consistently used in the scriptures as a symbol of perfection. So let's focus on this concept of unity and perfection. Here the lampstand corresponds to the unity of the Godhead. And by the Godhead we mean that there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is not three gods. It is one God in three persons, a concept that is totally impossible for us to fully understand, but we know the scriptures teach that and we accept it by faith, even though it is beyond our full comprehension. One God, three persons, there is a unity in the Godhead. Just as you have seven lamps, but this is of one piece, this is all one lampstand, and there is a unity. And we also see here that the Lord is absolutely perfect in all of His attributes. Again, Exodus 25:31, you shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be made of hammered work. Its base, its stem, its cups, its calyxes, and its flowers shall be of one piece with it. And you shall make seven lamps for it, verse 37 goes on to say. So this has to do with the perfection of God. There is a perfection here, seven lamps on this one lampstand, indicating perfection and pointing specifically to the absolute infinite perfection of our Almighty God. And like all the components of the Old Testament system of worship, the lampstand was a thing of beauty. I want you to turn with me to Exodus 35, just a few pages over from where you're at there. Exodus 35. Kim and I were just talking even this last week about a message that Caleb preached a couple of years ago that really impacted us. about the beauty of God and the things that were a part of the Old Testament system. And we went looking for that and ended up contacting Caleb. Well, it turns out that was like 8 years ago. Time flies when you're getting old, you know. Anyway, but perhaps those of you who have been around here for a while may remember his message. But let me read for you from Exodus 35, beginning with verse 30, and we'll read all the way to the first verse of the next chapter. Moses said to the people of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, with intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood for work in every skilled craft. And he has inspired him to teach both him and Oholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with skill to do every sort of work done by an engraver or by a designer or by an embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen or by a weaver, by any sort of workmanship or skilled designer. Bezalel and Oholiab and every craftsman in whom the Lord has put skill and intelligence to know how to do any work in the construction of the sanctuary shall work in accordance with all the Lord has commanded." So any work in the construction of the sanctuary, which means that this would include the lampstand. Oholiab and Bezalel had the responsibility to create a thing of beauty. If you've ever seen a golden lampstand or the depiction of a golden lampstand, it is attractive. Whether or not you consider it a thing of beauty, I don't know. But the very fact that it's made out of $2 million worth of gold should say something. But it's attractive. As we read through this description, if you were to look it up on the internet, you're going to see a lot of depictions of what we know as a menorah. And it may or may not have looked like some of those pictures. As you read through this, you kind of get a bit of an idea of what it looked like. But in the entire construction, the point was God didn't just say, make a lampstand with seven lamps on it. No, he gave a lot of instructions. He gave them details. And as he gave those details, it was clear that each one of those things, somehow or another, was important. So that he wanted them not just to make it, but to make it in a design that was inherently beautiful. So like all the components of the Old Testament worship system, the lampstand was a thing of beauty. And this corresponds to God, who is of infinite beauty. The very nature of beauty is such that it's because God is a beautiful God. And he inspires, in this particular case, he gave the skills to Bezalel and Oholiab to make things of beauty and to work with others in the community that had artistic abilities and to cause them to create these things of beauty in order to point to the beauty of God. We could go on. Caleb did it 8 years ago, but I'm moving on right now. The most obvious aspect of the nature of God that is symbolized in the lampstand is that it gives what? It gives light. That's the whole nature of a lampstand, right? We're talking about giving light. So we read in the Old Testament, Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." So we know this isn't something that is new. God has communicated this before. In Psalm 104, verses 1 and 2, we read, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty." So we get the idea of a beauty, of a majesty, royalty, and of brightness. Indeed, verse 2, "covering yourself with light as with a garment." So clearly, God is a God of light. And the lampstand, which had as its primary function giving light, represents the fact that God is light. Not only that, but according to the scriptures, this lampstand, the lamps on the lampstand, were always to be kept burning. And I would suggest that this points to the fact that God is not only a God of light, but is a God of eternal light, a light that will never be snuffed out. A light that will always shine. Indeed, if you're back in Exodus chapter 27 again, verse 20 says, "You shall command the people of Israel that they bring to you pure beaten olive oil for the light, that a lamp may regularly be set up to burn. In the tent of meeting outside the veil that is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall tend it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever to be observed throughout their generations by the people of Israel. Now, we could have a short debate about whether or not these lamps actually burned 24/7, or whether they were kept burning all during the nighttime hours and they were serviced during the daytime hours. I don't think it's really going to matter, even if we were to determine one or the other. But consider even what we have here in this particular translation. So the ESV says that the lamp may regularly be set up to burn in verse 20. Well, if you're reading in the New American Standard or the New Living Translation or the Christian Standard Version, it says that it may continually be kept burning. So that's the idea of something that never goes out. Indeed, the King James just says, always be kept burning. So there's again the continualness. And of course, the NIV actually uses the expression just kept burning. So as we think about this light that is supposed to be kept burning all the time, it makes us mindful of the fact that our God is eternal light. A light that never goes out, a light that is never dimmed, a light that always shines brightly. So continuing with this obvious purpose of the lampstand in the holy place, in the most holy place, let's move ahead in our outlines to point B. The lampstand served as a means of protection. We just had this conversation with our little ones a few moments ago. So as we think about the tabernacle itself, without the lamps, the rooms in the tabernacle proper would have been very dark. The curtains were thick. These were not thin veils. They were thick curtains that surrounded it. So by the time the structure was complete, anything inside would have been very dark. And as anyone who has ever wandered in the darkness knows well, the light is there to protect you from what you're going to do to your toe. It's to protect you from things that are in the dark, to protect you from stumbling. So quite literally, the lampstand served as a means of protection. Symbolically, yes, but literally, they needed light in there. So we read in Exodus 25:37, the lamp shall be set up so as to give light on the space in front of it. That was its purpose. That was its function. It's to protect you from stumbling in the darkness. You have light that is there shining all around the holy place, and indeed, when the veil is drawn, the most holy place as well. Of course, the priests didn't need light only to keep them from stumbling. They needed light in order to fulfill their God-given responsibilities. So point C, the lampstand served as a means of enlightenment for serving God. And once again, I'm talking about literal enlightenment. The lampstand served as a means of enlightenment for serving God. We just read it, verse 37, the lamp shall be set up so as to give light on the space in front of it. Not just so that they didn't stub their toe, but so that they could do what God had called them to do. This concept of God providing light to enable His people to do what they needed to do had already been illustrated even before God gave instructions for the lampstand, because the people had already been in the wilderness for some time. When they left the land of Egypt and they entered into the wilderness area on their way to the promised land, we know that they needed direction from God. And so we read back in Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, that the Lord went before them, the Israelites, by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light that they might travel by day and by night. So in a very literal sense, God had already shown them He is going to be their light in order to direct them as to where they needed to go. They needed to follow His directions. So this leads us once again to the inherent symbolism of this particular article of furniture in the tabernacle. So consider number two, the picture of the golden lampstand. The picture of the golden lampstand. In Hebrews, God reveals that the various components of the Old Testament system of worship all pointed symbolically to an infinitely greater heavenly reality. We read it a few moments ago in Hebrews 8:5 that the priests serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. These were just a copy. They were symbolic. Things that we're looking at in the Old Testament system of worship have a symbolic purpose. And that's what Hebrews tells us. And indeed, Hebrews chapter 9 lists the lampstand as one of those items of worship. We read it there in the first couple of verses of Hebrews 9. Even the first covenant had regulations for worship in an earthly place of holiness. For a tent, a tabernacle, that is what he's talking about, was prepared, the first section, in which were the lampstand. And then he goes on to talk about the other things that were there. So this is listed specifically as something that has symbolic power within it. And Hebrews 9:9 indicates that these things that are in the tabernacle compound, including the lampstand, are indeed symbolic. In light of the purpose of the tabernacle furnishings, then, what heavenly realities can we discern? That's what Hebrews 9 is calling us to do, to evaluate what he gave them way back in Exodus about the tabernacle and to say, what heavenly realities are actually being pictured here? Now, there are almost certainly some wonderful truths that we can glean from the assorted details given about the lampstand. The cups that were made like almond blossoms, each with a calyx and flower. The pure beaten olive oil which fueled the lamps. I have no doubt that there's significance there, and we may do well to study that. But for the sake of time, I'm going to restrict our examination today to the symbolism behind the most basic purpose or function of the lampstand, and that is light. So, first, point A, the lampstand symbolizes the nature of God. This was true in the Old Testament. We've already seen this. But even in the Old Testament, the scriptures were pointing to Jesus himself. I read for you a moment ago Psalm 27:1, a verse that is probably familiar to you. The Lord is my light and my salvation. But I want to compare that to Acts chapter 4 in the New Testament. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Regarding Jesus, the Word of God declares, Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved than the name of Jesus. So if David in Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, and the New Testament says there is salvation in no one but Jesus, then the Old Testament is actually declaring that Jesus is God and that Jesus is light. That is the nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. And indeed, the lampstand symbolizes the nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, the New Testament is explicit when it comes to this particular matter. In John chapter 1, verse 9, we read Jesus is the true light, which gives light to everyone. So it's not like there's any question here. And Jesus comes right out and says it himself in John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read these now, but we see the same truth illustrated in the Mount of Transfiguration. You'll recall that in the Gospels where Jesus took just a couple of his disciples up with him and he was transfigured before their presence. And the scriptures tell us that Jesus' clothing itself became dazzling white and that his face shone like the sun. So clearly this picture of Jesus being light is true on every possible level. And then we could go to the book of Revelation and we see the multiple references to Jesus there, ending up with the observation that in glory there's going to be no need for the sun because God the Father and the Lamb, Jesus Christ, will be their light. So we know that Jesus is the light, and that is part of the nature of God, and the lampstand represents that. Secondly, the lampstand symbolizes protection. protection. In the darkness, we need light to make sure that our feet are stepping rightly. Light for your feet provides protection. Again, I share with you Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet. We need our light. Sometimes we need a flashlight up in the middle of the night, just making sure, yeah, I think I know where that furniture is. If you got kids at home, you may still have good eyesight, but not good enough to risk stepping on a jack or a Lego in the middle of the night. So you need something to see that in order to protect your feet. Jesus says that the scriptures, your word, is a light to our feet. So we know that we need that in order to protect our feet. We need the light of Christ and His holy word in order to be spiritually protected, because that's what this passage in Psalm 119 is really all about. In John chapter 11, you can turn back there for a moment. In John chapter 11, Jesus talks about the need for light. And even though in this context, it's clear He's talking about walking in the daylight hours when the sun is in the sky and it provides us that physical light, it's also evident that He's talking about more than just walking in physical light. So listen to what He says, John 11, verse 9. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." Now, Jesus' actual meaning is seen in the next chapter, chapter 12. It is that the danger of walking in spiritual darkness is mitigated by walking by faith in the light of the Son of God, Jesus Christ Himself. So He says in chapter 12 of John, verse 35, "Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going." And again, we could take that to mean we need to walk during daylight hours, but when we come to verse 44, then it becomes clear. Verse 44, Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not in him, but in him, not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." There is protection. We're not going to remain in darkness when we're in the protection of the light of Jesus. We know that is true. Romans, if you want to turn over there to Romans chapter 13, please. Romans depicts light as a source of protection by identifying light as armor. Romans 13:11. "You know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." Armor is all about protection. That's the purpose of armor. It's protection. So when He says put on the armor of light, clearly He is talking about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Matter of fact, He goes on to say that. Next verse, Romans 13:13. "Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy." Verse 14, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." We are to put on the armor of light. We are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are both the same thing. We are to put that on for our own protection. Therefore, the Old Testament golden lampstand symbolizes the protection that comes from walking in the light of Jesus Christ and His holy word. Point C, the lampstand symbolizes enlightenment for serving God. Enlightenment for serving God. If Christ and His Word provide protection for the feet to keep you from stumbling, that same light also enables you to see more clearly the path ahead as you follow Him. So we read Psalm 119, 105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet. But there's another phrase. And a light to my path. It's not just about what's right here and where my toes are about to land. It's about where I'm going. The Lord calls us to not simply use the light to keep us from stumbling in the darkness and stubbing our toe, but rather to take advantage of the light to follow Him, doing everything that He has called us to do. Again, John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." We are to be following Jesus Christ. John 8:31, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." We are knowing the truth because we're following Jesus, not just because we're watching our toes. We're following Jesus. Paul expresses it like this. Let me read from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and following. "At one time," he says, "you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." We make the best use of the time by not only having the light for our path, but also for our feet, but also for our path as we move ahead and following Him. So the golden lampstand symbolizes the enlightenment that the Lord provides for following Him, for doing His will, for carrying out the responsibilities that He has given us in serving Him. D, the lampstand symbolizes God's offer of salvation to all. John 1:9, I've already read it several times. "The true light, which gives light to everyone," and I'll just stop right there. Jesus is the light of believers, but He came to bring light to everyone, to everybody in the entire world. Unfortunately, there are many who will refuse to come to the light, even though Jesus came to offer them forgiveness and salvation. Again, there in John chapter 1, verse 9, He says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him." Well, the Bible describes such people as those who love darkness. In John chapter 3, Jesus said, "This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." You need to pray for those people who are still walking in darkness. You may have family members, neighbors, friends. There are certainly people all around the world who are spiritually blind. They have a veil over their spiritual eyes, as 2 Corinthians says. The gospel is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel. We need to be praying for those people. They are in the darkness. They have not seen the light of God. They need the light of the glory of Jesus Christ. The good news of salvation is available to all who will receive Jesus. Matter of fact, we read there in John chapter 1 where He talked about those who did not receive Him. But then He goes on in verse 12 and says, "But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." That is an offer that is available to all. And God wants us to be involved in sharing that with others. Which brings us to this last point. Point E, the lampstand symbolizes the light of Jesus through His people. We who have put our trust in Jesus Christ are His people. The lampstand symbolizes the light of Jesus shining through us, His people. Just as the Old Testament priests carried out their responsibilities in the light of the lampstand, so you and I are to carry out our Christian responsibilities in the marvelous light of Jesus. Last week we looked at 1 Peter 2:9 that says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. We are all priests as Christians, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may," and now He's going to define part of our responsibilities. What is your responsibility as a Christian? "That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." We are to be proclaiming the marvelous light of Jesus to those who are still walking in darkness. His excellencies, which is just another way of highlighting the light of God Himself. The light of Jesus actually transforms the believer. As you walk in the light of Jesus, you become more and more conformed to the image of Jesus, who is Himself light, and then you radiate that light to others. Jesus not only declared that He is light, but He also said that those who have His light are a light to others. Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." God calls each believer, every one of us, to shine as lights in the darkness by living exemplary Christian lives as we follow the commands and the principles of His holy word. Philippians 2, verse 14 says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of God, the word of life." So the Old Testament golden lampstand symbolizes the light of Jesus through His people today. Well, in light of all that we have seen today, see what I did there? Let me conclude with this question. Do others see the light of Jesus in you? 1 John 1:5, "This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin." Lord, thank You for this great song of the faith that expresses the entire gospel in these verses and points out to us that the doom of our enemy is certain because of Jesus Christ, the eternal Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for bringing us into the light, not because we are worthy, but because You are infinitely worthy. Thank You for drawing us to Yourself, and Lord, let us be the instruments that shed light to the rest of the world to bring the message of the good news of the gospel of light, Jesus Christ, to those who are lost in darkness. Lord, please bring them to salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. And I conclude with these words from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. "You are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen, and God bless.